God damn it. I gotta stop laughing at the irony of this tagline. What's up? This is Movies on Up. Prepare for awesomeness. I'm Dave, joined by my awesome co-host, Mr. Ryan.
That's what he was hyping you up for. Not this list, just my presence.
Yes. Tagline this week, prepare for awesomeness. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup, if they still exist by now. They should. This week, Jumanji jungles back into the theater.
Welcomes you back into the theater.
I just made jungle a verb. But it comes back, so we figured, how can we prepare for awesomeness? And we didn't have any ideas, so we decided, let's do a Jack Black episode instead. So we are getting ready for Jumanji with our favorite Jack Black movies. And I've, air quote, hyped this episode up for a while, ever since we put it on our...
I think you've done the opposite of hype.
That's why it was in air quotes.
Yeah.
Kind of hyped it up. You know what? Not as bad as I thought.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said about this episode.
And the thing is, here's the thing. I don't dislike Jack Black. I love Mr. Show. Mr. Show formed my sense of humor, and anybody that came from Mr. Show, I followed. I just didn't like where his career went. He's one of the few that it was great to see him turn into a movie star, but the movies he made just weren't for me, and I was okay with that. He made a career out of it. That's fine. I don't hate Jack Black. I respect where he came from. I like where he came from. I was just never a Jack Black movie star fan because the movies just weren't for me. However, he shows up in a lot of movies I like in smaller parts. So
fair enough.
How Jack Blacky are your Jack Black movies?
You know he's in at least three of my movies. He's not necessarily top billed,
okay,
but he's up there.
Okay.
It's not like, oh, he has a cameo in this. No.
And that's where I tried to avoid. I have a separate list of like, oh, I love these movies. I don't remember Jack Black in them.
I remember him in all five of these, and I don't think it's a stretch.
Oh, yeah. No. I made a separate list. The ones that I don't remember him in, I left off the list. And then there's others that I had, and I tried to put the ones that were more Jack Blacky towards the front.
More black.
Yeah. I tried, and then I rearranged. So basically, I don't care. But your number five favorite Jack Black movie.
My number five, I would say he's second billed in Jake Kasdan's Orange County from 2002. Top billed would be Colin Hanks and also Schuyler Fisk. This movie actually has a very impressive collection of comedic talent in it. You've got John Lithgow, Harold Ramis, Chevy Chase, Lily Tomlin, Leslie Mann, Lizzie Kaplan, Nat Faxon, and Ben Stiller all show up at points. Some of them are basically just glorified cameos, and some of them don't even really have any jokes, but I think it just kind of shows top to bottom the cast was pretty impressive. But I think that Hanks is really the reason this movie works. It was his first chance at leading a movie, and I think he did a great job, all things considered. You've got a ton of hijinks like drug use and arson, pretty much all of it caused by Jack Black's bumbling stoner brother, which is a good role for Jack Black, to be very honest. But through it all, Hanks manages to be pretty relatable. The plot, however, is kind of the biggest problem I have with this movie. It's weak, to say the least, and the resolution is almost contradictory. But it is a great showcase for Hanks. Not quite the everyman that his dad is, but I think a millennial version of that everyman. He basically thinks the world should stop turning, exceptions should be made to interview and admission processes, and checks written so that he can get into Stanford after years of fuck-offery, which is kind of a douchey thing to do and to expect, but you still kind of want him to get his way nonetheless. We should hate Sean, but like the criminally underused Fisk, we love him anyway.
This was my number five as well, just because... It's a Colin Hanks movie, but I feel like this was a Jack Black vehicle.
Yes.
Like, in a way that Road Trip was more of a Breckenmeyer movie, but it was a Tom Green vehicle.
Or a Sex Drive was a Marsden vehicle.
Yeah. Like, this was like, hey, this is what Jack Black can do. And it took him out of the, he wasn't the headliner. He was just kind of there to steal the show. And I think he does. Like, he's very.
He's the comedic relief in this movie.
Yes, the over-the-top comedic relief. And it, written by Mike White, who went on to work with Jack Black quite a few other times. Kasdan has such a weird filmography, but it's not a good movie. And I think when you stack it up with other movies that I think get lumped in there with like Road Trip,
yeah,
and Sex Drive and those kind of movies, I don't think it's among the best.
It's the weakest out of those three.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's competent. If it's Saturday and I'm vacuuming and it's on FXX, I'll turn it on until I leave the room. So
one of the kids turns it off because they don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not a big Jack Black fan.
Hey, there's that guy from Goosebumps.
Big's son.
My number four stars Biggs, Jason Biggs. Also Steve Zahn and Jack Black. It's Dennis Duggan's Saving Silverman from 2001. So if the plot for my last one was a bit weak, this one I feel like we've heard before. Guy meets girl that's way out of his league. Turns out she's a real bitch, which is probably why she was single to begin with. She then tries to manipulate the love-struck idiot into ditching his friends. His friends respond by using Neil Diamond to help the idiot stop his crush from becoming a nun so he can wife her up. It's basically just like The Graduate, just with more friends than Neil Diamond. That said, I do think it's kind of a fun movie. The scenes specifically with Steve Zahn, Jack Black, and Amanda Peet, I think are fantastic. I love the three of them together on screen. She is a great villain in this movie. She's essentially the devil, but by the end of it, you know, a kind of a likable devil. The scenes of her outsmarting her two would-be kidnappers, I think, are fantastic. Jason Biggs gives exactly the kind of performance you'd expect from Jason Biggs in 2001. But I think that allows everyone else to shine. To have a good comedy, it helps to have a really great straight man. And from the second Jason Biggs stuck his dick into a pie in 1999, that lot was cast for him. He was going to be the straight guy that allows for buffoonery around him. And certainly, the buffoonery with Zahn and Jack Black is at the highest level in this movie, but it's really good.
And I'm glad you put this on, because I left it off because it's a terrible movie. But I really like this movie. I like Zahn. I think Steve Zahn is hilarious in this movie. There's the scene where it's Family Guy before. Well, I guess it's around the time Family Guy was on the air, where he's just like, come on, 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 come on. And it just goes for way too long. But it's hilarious. And he's so good in that. My number four is a little bit different. We're straying from the comedy, and it's probably one of the weirdest, poorest cast blockbusters ever, from 2005, King Kong, directed by Peter Jackson. I get what they were trying to do with Jack Black as Carl Denham, but he felt really out of place here. I get that you needed a lighter character for Denham, but I feel like Jack Black brought too much. This is peak Jack Black. This is when Jack Black, the movie star, was a thing. So you go in expecting that Jack Black, and that's what you get, which is way out of place. Add in with Adrian Brody, who I have never bought as an action star. No matter how many times they've tried to make it work, I do not buy him. But then you have the beautifully, wonderfully, perfectly cast Naomi Watts that makes the movie worth watching despite everything else. She's a movie star in this movie. Like, I will watch this movie when it's on just for her. She is so good in this movie, and I can't pinpoint why I like her in this movie so much. Maybe it's because she's the only one that's like, oh yeah, that's who should play. She was born to play this part. Whereas you get Brody and Jack Black, and it's like, oh, they must have got turned down about 25 times. And then this was Serkis. This was Andy Serkis.
That, to me, that's it.
Yeah.
As good as Naomi Watts was, and she was fine. Andy Serkis is a good reason to watch it, too.
Yeah, Andy Serkis, this is where he started it with Gollum. This is where it's like, oh, this isn't just a Middle Earth thing.
Right.
Like, this is, you
can, other applications for this technology and for his skill specifically.
Yeah, so
we need to do an Andy Serkis episode.
I think we could.
When does that movie that he directed come out with Spider-Man? Is that already out?
I don't think so.
Because we would have missed a great opportunity to do it. He'll probably get another chance.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be fun.
Andy Serkis does not appear in my number three. But if we talk about guys that are unrecognizable and you just have to take my word for it that this role is played by this actor, that does apply. In 2008's Tropic Thunder, directed by Ben Stiller, starring Stiller, Robert Downey Jr., Jack Black, lots of folks.
Tom Cruise.
We'll get to him in a bit. One thing that a comedy has to have to be funny is a straight guy. This movie has that in Jay Baruchel. He's the straight guy in this. But a funny script also helps. And the script for this was written by Ben Stiller, which you can see. Ethan Coen, yeah, hey, that's great. They're funny, but they don't usually do humor like this. And then Justin Theroux somehow gets thrown in there. I wouldn't say he's a fantastic writer.
Theroux's a fantastic writer.
Do you?
Yeah.
What do you like that he wrote?
Iron Man 2?
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
Charlie's Angels 2? Didn't he write that?
I don't know.
He showed up as the villain in that. Him in sweatpants, though.
At any rate, those three did turn out a very good script. And this is not necessarily one that, I mean, it was billed as, you know, a Ben Stiller movie. Robert Downey Jr. wasn't quite what he is now. He was on his way back up to that point. But Jack Black, I think, was kind of the bigger star between the two of them at this point in time. And it was certainly he was featured. But I think Robert Downey Jr. and his characters was just fantastic in this movie. And his opinion on the formula to win an Oscar, I think, is very accurate to this day. The movie itself is a wonderful spoof of ensemble action movies where you've got actors that are from various pools. You got your comic for the laughs, your action star for the shooting, a closeted rapper for the street cred, a five-time Academy Award winner, just to let you know that it's not just another shoot 'em up movie. But it's also a parody of Hollywood in general. You've got Tom Cruise, who shows up as the completely unrecognizable scumbag studio guy, Les Grossman. His scenes are some of the best in the movie. And then you have fake products, the energy drink, the booty sweat. I think there was a candy bar that Al Pacino was hawking as well. And then the fake movies that they've got in here. The Simple Jack that Ben Stiller's character tried to do. I would love to see the Robert Downey Jr. Tobey Maguire gay monk movie. I think that's hilarious as well. And I think that Jack Black, his Jeff Portnoy, was also a really spot on, not a stretch to know who his character is spoofing. It's Eddie Murphy. Specifically, they have a fake movie for him, The Fatties Fart 2, where he plays all the characters and all they do is fart. I mean, that's obviously a reference to the clumps there. But I thought he was really good in this. Danny McBride has a smaller part. He's good.
Steve Coogan's in it.
Yeah. The director, Cockburn.
You know what makes me mad about this movie, though, is you have this great, great cast. And then you have Brandon T. Jackson, who kind of, yes, compared to everybody else, is a who the hell is that? And he's fantastic. I'm not nuts about this movie, but I watched it and thought, like, that kid's a star. Like, that kid is going to be good. And then he hasn't really gotten anything. He was in the Percy Jackson movies where he was wasted. And, you know, he was in attached to that Beverly Hills Cop son show for a while. And, like, he hasn't blossomed into this big-time movie star that I thought was born in that movie. Because I thought he was really, really good put against that cast. Like,
right.
These are legendary people he's with. These are like comedy heavy hitters. And then here's this kid at the time just going toe-to-toe with him. And like, what do you mean, you people? Like, that's one of my favorite lines. That's one of my favorite lines of that whole movie. And just his delivery is so, and just Al Pacino. I love, like, that name. My number three goes to another big movie star from 1998. I try to mention this movie any chance I get, because I absolutely love Tony Scott's Enemy of the State, starring Will Smith, Gene Hackman, John Voight, Lisa Bonet, Regina King. You have this crew in the NSA van that is like a who's who. You have Lauren Dean, Barry Pepper, Jake Busey, Scott Kahn, and then Seth Green and Jack Black. They're all this team, and he's very, very minimal in this. This isn't a Jack Black movie.
Like, there was a run of those Jack Black as tech guy
movies.
Yes,
The Jackal with Bruce Willis, where he gets his arm blown off.
Yeah.
Like, there was, I love Enemy of the State just because of that sampling right there alone. Busey, Khan, Lauren Dean, Barry Pepper, Jack Black, Seth Green. These are the surveillance dudes. And, like, I love that. About
how comfortable do you feel with that?
And I love this movie. I've raved about it every chance I get. Jack Black doesn't have a chance to do much in it, so he's not relevant, really. And this one I only put on the list because I didn't want to spoil your number one, so yeah. I bumped it from number three, and it was either put this or
The Jackal.
Any of the three would have been better because they're more Jack Black movies, but you give me a chance to put Enemy of the State on a list, it's going on that list.
Those ones, and those were the first two left off my list, and they were only left off because he's not really in them a lot. It's easy to kind of forget him in those movies. My number two, of the movies that did make my list, it's probably the easiest to forget him in this one. Also showing up in the movie Lisa Bonet with John Cusack in Stephen Frears' High Fidelity from 2000. This is 100% a Cusack movie. And depending on who you talk to, it may be the Cusack movie. I mean, I think there's two leaders in the clubhouse. You certainly like one of them more than the other.
Yeah.
But
I would think this is probably the third Cusack movie.
You like Gross Point Blank a lot more than most folks do anyway. I like it. But certainly when you think of this movie, you think of John Cusack. You don't think of Jack Black. But while he's not the center of the story, it's not his story, I think he plays a guy that like everybody knows. He is pretty unremarkable. He's not particularly loud and brash. He's not trying to seduce a secretary and burning up the admissions building at Stanford. Like, that's not his role in this movie. He's just the guy that works at this record store.
The guy you work with.
Right, exactly.
You probably don't hang out with if you don't work with him.
But but while you're at work, he's a good guy to talk to. They're always making their top five lists. And I think if you've ever spent any time in either like a store that's very niche, it's either a record store or like a store.
A used video game store.
Yeah. Work at a place like Suncoast that used to sell movies. Like, we've all been on the other end of those conversations where the guy across or the girl across the counter from you is really a dick. They're not very helpful because you don't know what they know. How dare you come in this store and interrupt the conversation I'm having?
I worked at a Blockbuster Video. I was that asshole.
I don't think I was that asshole in the video game store, but I knew that asshole that worked in the record store next to me, and guess what? I liked him.
Yeah.
I think we've all seen that. So that part of the story, I do think, was really authentic. Now, I didn't necessarily identify as much with Cusack running through all his ex-girlfriends trying to find out why he's always moving to the next one. Like, that part of it, it is what it is. But the scenes with Cusack in the store, I like a lot. And I think by 2000, it wasn't a surprise that Jack Black had musical talent. Like, people knew that he had a band, he had a thing. And then I thought sort of the way they treated that at the end, where he finally does get to play, and it's not a joke, and they're actually like a cool band, and it's fun. I thought that was kind of a good payoff to Barry having this band the whole time, and it's talked about, you guys probably suck, and all that. But then they show up, and they're good, and I think it helps bring the movie to a good close.
See, I don't hold this movie on a pedestal like a lot of people my age do. I do love music. I like that atmosphere. I like everything about this movie except the plot or the movie in itself. Like, I love the dialogue. I like Cusack's character. But with super relationshipy stuff, I can't get into it. Like, that's the same reason I hate this movie for the same reason I hate 500 Days of Summer. Like, that's not somebody I would hang out with. But the stuff where you take away the hunting down the exes and stuff,
right.
I like all the other stuff.
If so this was a movie about a record store, if Cusack would just make a movie about a record store, it'd probably be great.
I like the B stories in this movie, not the A. My number two, it's the most Jack Black-y movie on my list. And I tried to rank, like, okay, these are Jack Black movies, and which one do I like the most? And it is from 2015. Directed by Rob Letterman. It's Goosebumps. They took a tough thing to do, and you have a series of books. How do you make a movie of it? I thought it was done well. It's a good, entertaining movie. It's a horror movie for kids, and Jack Black does a good job of showing up as a Harl Stein. It's a Dylan Minnette movie, him and Odea Rush. They carry the movie, and Jack Black is just kind of there for the credibility, I guess. I don't know. Jack Black is just there.
And I think kids as much as Jack Black is Jack Black a movie, he's a kid's movie star. You know what I mean? The Kung Fu Panda stuff, kids may not know who Tenacious D is, but I think they know, oh, that may be the guy from School of Rock, or that's the guy from Kung Fu Panda. So that, you know, they'll go out because they like him.
Dylan Minnette, who I love.
He's great. Yeah. I like him as an adult. I'm not sure kids are.
But like, that Odea Rush is really good. Amy Ryan, Jillian Bell. And it's just a fun, goofy horror movie that you can watch. I mean, I can watch any with my kids, but like, if I had normal kids, I could watch this movie with them. They love it. Slappy is terrifying. You took a whole series of books and you worked a bunch of those characters just in real life. And my buddy Jimmy Cole makes an appearance in this movie. He was my friend from high school and I've known forever. He drew our logo, Jimmy Cole of our Movies on Up logo that is on our website that used to exist.
Website probably still does. Yeah. The first page.
Yeah. It's a fun movie. It's not great, but it's great for a Jack Black movie. I've watched it more than once. Which, I mean, that's high praise.
That's the most you can say for a Jack Black movie. I disagree. My number one is a movie that I have put on other lists before. I don't know what the hell they were, but I unabashedly love Michel Gondry's Be Kind Rewind from 2008, starring Black, Mos Def, and Danny Glover. Jack Black, in anything he does, for the most part, is a buffoon. A lovable buffoon, but a buffoon. And as a result of his buffoonery, he manages to get himself magnetized and erase all of the VHS tapes inside of this movie rental place. And in 2008, or why are there VHS? That's part of the plot, is that Danny Glover is so old school, he doesn't want to rent DVDs, and that's why his movie rental establishment is in some trouble. So you basically have a scenario where, in order to not get in trouble by the owner and to have the owner not lose said business, Jack Black and Mos Def have to recreate all of the movies that have been erased when customers come in to want to rent them. And it starts with a customer trying to rent Ghostbusters, which is a movie very near and dear to my heart. So when you have Jack Black and Mos Def, who I don't think of as a comedic guy, but the two of them together trying to recreate scenes from Ghostbusters in the most low-tech possible way, I absolutely fell in love with. And I think that I like the Jack Black, Mos Def Rush Hour 2 more than I actually like Rush, which is not saying an awful lot. But I think from a aspect of who as a kid did not try and reenact scenes from Star Wars or Indiana Jones or whatever movie, this movie is basically that. And it's allowed for people to submit their own sweeted versions of movies. Michel Gondry did a sweeted version of the trailer for his own movie. I just love how creative Gondry is, the imagination that he brings to most of his movies. Most of them are really hard to follow. This one is not. The plot's kind of crazy. But if you just buy in, I just think this movie's so creative and it's so much fun. And that's what I love about it.
And I love Mos Def. I think he's criminally underrated. I think he's great in everything he's in. And you don't see him in a lot of roles where he's playing off of somebody like Jack Black. Like, he's usually more understated. And it worked. Like, it really, really worked here. My number one, not a heavy Jack Black movie. It's a Billy Crudup movie. It's a weird one. It's from 1999, directed by Alison MacLean, based on the novel by Dennis Johnson. It's Jesus' Son. It's a hard movie to explain. It's basically Billy Crudup's life in a bunch of different segments, and it's almost like different shorts. You know, you have a great cast, though. Samantha Morton, Holly Hunter, Dennis Leary, Jack Black's part, I think, is one of the more memorable parts, where they work together in a hospital stealing drugs, and then they kill these baby bunnies that they try to rescue accidentally. It's really depressing and it's really dark. Like, Jack Black is very Jack Black in this part, but it works because they're high out of their mind, and it's a Billy Crudup movie. 100% Billy Crudup is an understated dude. This is like understated Billy Crudup, where he's just mellow and just low. But Samantha Morton is phenomenal in this movie. Holly Hunter is great. Dennis Leary, I really, really like in this movie. It's hard to explain. Like, I can't do it because what's the plot? I don't really know. I've seen this movie a million times, and it's just this dude telling stories from different times of his life. And the Jack Black one stands out. Like, it's a small part. He's only in maybe 10 to 15 minutes of the movie, but his segment, I think, is really, really memorable. And I really like this movie, and I don't know why. But that's my number one Jack Black movie.
As far as movies that were also, I think School of Rock, I actually kind of like.
School of Rock was entertaining. It was fun. It was worth a watch. Like, if it's on and my kids want to watch it.
And a good usage for Jack Black.
Yeah, if my kids want to watch it, I'll watch it. It's not something I'll seek out on my own.
Sure. I think it's probably worthy of a place on one of our lists. Bernie, I'm surprised didn't make yours.
Bernie almost did. That was the one that I almost put on instead of Enemy of the State.
Yeah, certainly a Jack Black movie.
It's a great Jack Black performance in a movie that I don't think is that great.
Yeah.
I think it's probably one of his better, like, oh, this guy's an actor. Like, this, he's a legit actor in this movie. And I feel like it's a weird amalgamation because it is a great Jack Black performance, but the movie's not that great. And then there were ones that I don't remember him in, Airborne. Demolition Man.
Yeah.
I don't remember him in Demolition
Man. And I've seen it very recently.
Run, Ronnie, Run, I do remember him in, but I had to mention that. The Cable Guy and The Fan.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Neverending Story 3 was my number five, where he plays the bully. But I honestly don't think I've seen the movie. I've only seen his parts.
I cannot really recall dipping into the third in the never-ending, it was seemingly never-ending story expanded universe. Well, if you didn't like the Jack Black episode, I think that next week we've probably got you covered. And I know Dave's going to be much more excited to do what would be our fourth? No, wait.
Third. I think we've only done it. I don't know. It's probably our fourth. Third or fourth.
I think it's our fourth. Our fourth annual Uppies, or at least our annual
fourth-ish
Uppie Awards. Whatever. Not like anybody's going to go back and count. We'll just tell you it's the fourth and we'll roll with it from there. It's the episode of the year where we kind of just talk about a bunch of movies that maybe we haven't had the opportunity to talk about. They're all new. They may not make our end of the year list because a lot of these categories are super snarky. So we'll kind of get a chance to talk about some more timely movies with you and some performances in those movies to wrap up the year. We do that all the time. That's our last episode of the year. And then going into January, to start off, we'll give you our favorites from 2017, mostly because it takes us the entire month of December to see some of these late in the year things that end up being really good, but they're just held to the last minute. So we've pushed that out, and we'll do a Star Wars episode coming up in January as well, for a couple reasons. One, we want to give people time to go out and see it before we tell you that they kill Han Solo, and we've recorded these episodes way before Star Wars was even out. This is February of 2016 as we record this. So next week, we have a fantastic episode. It's going to be a lot of fun to record that. So hopefully you do come back, finish out the year with us, with the Uppies, and then we'll keep that going right on into the next year with some fun episodes as well. But until then,
keep it up.